It's all right. Father God, I thank you for Dave and the word he's going to bring this morning. I pray that it's all from you, Lord, and that anything not of you is just got rid of right now. Father, we just ask for hearts to hear from you, ears to hear from you, Lord. We prepare our hearts to listen to you this morning and how you want to speak to us. The message may be different for each one of us, but I know you'll speak life to us into us this morning, Father. We pray for Dave and just boldness, Lord. We pray for boldness in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. I'd like to get rid of these because I think that one of these days I'll trip over it. I've seen some of the other speakers, you know, just, whoa, nearly going over. So, yeah. Good to see you all. Christmas is coming. Little bit of apprehension there, maybe. But, yeah. I remember as a small boy, it was day before Christmas Eve. I don't know whether I've told this before. But I said to my dad, I says, Dad, will Christmas ever come? And Joey said to me, he says, yeah, and next year. And since then, there's been, what, way over 50 that have come, not just that one. So, and it's amazing, you know, as you get older, is that right? They just seem to come faster, don't they? You know, I said to somebody the other day, I said, we maybe ought to just have a word with the Lord and just say to him, you know, that here on earth, if we move as fast as what time does, we get a speeding fine. Is that right? I mean, you know, it just, that's how life goes by, doesn't it? Is that right? But we need to say that I believe that these days are important. They are important. I did say to the Lord 2-3 years ago, I said to him, I said, Lord, whatever you've got for me, whatever you've got for me, I just want to make the days count until it's time to go on with you. I want every day to count for him. Amen? Oh. Yeah. Because the days go by so quick, don't they? Amen. Let's just pray over this word, shall we? Yes. Thank you. Father, I just thank you for your precious word. Oh. You're wanting us to realize in these days, Lord, how important and how powerful your word is. How important and how powerful it is. Just come, Lord, this morning and give us that revelation, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 18. The tongue, that's this thing here, has the power of life and death in it. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Usually when love it, it actually means where we give it attention. You know, we you know, it's something that we consider. It takes our thoughts, if you like, consideration. We give it a priority. You know, if you love Liverpool as a football club, you give it your attention, don't you? If you love anything, you love your wife, you love your children, you give them your attention. And I believe that this word that Sharon had is so important for us. Because this next move of God is going to be a move of holiness. And to be able to stand in it and to be able to operate in it, I believe that it's going to be where we actually are becoming cleaned up. All of us. And as a leader in the church, I want that to start with me. But you see, unless it starts with me, we're no longer a leader. We become a pusher. We're pushing the flock along. And I just want you to say that, you know, I want God to do whatever's necessary in my life, that we will be. How? Just that we go into this with our hearts right. I know that I haven't always lived like that. I've tried. I consider the way I dress. Even when I'm in town, I think, I've preached that many places. You don't know who knows you. You've got to consider where you're going, what you're doing, who's watching you, and things like that. But I've not always lived up to that. But whatever needs doing in my life, I want God to do it. Amen? Turn with me to, let's read it from here first. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Many of you, most of you, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you'll know the story of the parable of the sower. And you'll know that Jesus told it as a parable, and then his disciples came to him and said, look, you know, we don't understand this, what you said about the farmer and, you know, throwing seed, I mean, and things like that. So let's just break in at verse 13. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? How will you understand any parable? I believe that this parable is fundamentally important to us as Christians, to us as believers. It's so, so important. And yet, we know the story, but we don't know it. I'm learning about this story all the time. Every time I go back to this, it's as though you can see something else within it. And you can say, well, we probably do that with any part of Scripture, but there's something that God is wanting to open up as regards this. Okay. The farmer, so he's explaining what the sower of seed is. And he's actually relating it here to the farmer sowing, but the seed is the word of God. You're actually receiving now, word of God is coming to you. Word of God is coming to you. I'm releasing something. Words are, as we've read, life and death, okay? But also words dominate our lives. They've dominated creation. This book is full of words that God said. Words, words, words. Words that come out of our mouth are either good or bad. I'd value you praying for Karen and I. A couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks today, I said to somebody, I was at Bridgewater ministering, and I said, I think that's the best word I've ever preached. And after that, during the day, I felt terribly under attack. Bit of tension and what have you. And, you know, maybe tension came into relationship with Karen and I as a result as well. And I just felt that, you know, just under attack. I don't know if any of you felt like that and what have you, but I did. And sometimes during those times, we say things that we wish we could take back, but they're out there. Whether they're life or whether they're death, they're out there. They're gone. It's like a gun being fired. You shoot the person, you can't say, oh, well, I'll take the bullet back now. Words are so powerful. When we see somebody and they come through the door, okay, welcome us, welcome them, things like that. And we've been good at that, actually. What people say that when they come here, they like the welcome that we give them here. And those welcoming words have actually borne fruit. They've been a seed. They've taken them. They've remembered them. And they felt they'd like to come again. So we happen to live in a world that's dominated, a universe that's dominated by words. The universe itself was created by words. Let there be light. And there was light. So Jesus here is talking about the importance of these words and how we treat them when we get them. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. You're hearing the word of the Lord this morning, and some of you will actually maybe even have lost what I've said already, maybe, you know, because of whatever, another thoughts come to your mind, taking it away, anxiety, whatever. And we'll cover that one in a moment. Where the word is sown, as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Satan takes it away. He doesn't like you having the word of God in you. Is it John 10:10? The thief comes. The thief comes to steal. To steal. It's important that we get it in the right order. Steal, kill, and destroy. Because, you know, he can mess your life up if he steals the word of God from you. If you don't get it this morning, or whenever else you hear the word of God, if he steals it, you've lost it. It's gone. And that's what he comes to do. That's what he's about, stealing. With the intention of that you die. We can die without the word of God. Destroyers. Okay. So comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Now the second category of people, we're going to cover four categories of people here. The second one is others like seed on rocky places hear the word and at once receive it with joy. Fantastic to hear the word of God. We heard it last week from Chris and I thought to myself, oh, how do I follow that one? It was good, wasn't it? Hey? How do I follow that? But how many of us remember it? I mean, I was thinking there, thinking, yeah, Chris, you're right. You know, I forgot about that. You know, we were meant to invite somebody. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, Notice that it says persecution comes because of the word. They quickly fall away. Still others, like seed. Let's just hang on a moment on verse 17. I just wanted to read it to you in the Amplified version. And they have no real root in themselves. Where should our root be? Ephesians chapter 3 tells us that it should be rooted and grounded in his love. That's where it should be rooted. Understanding that we are loved. Just that security that I've come into a relationship not with just a person or even a God that has a big stick, and if I step out of line, he's going to hurt me, but I'm rooted and grounded in a knowledge of a person that loves me beyond anybody else that on this planet. And in fact, loves me just as much as he loves Jesus. John 17:23, if you don't believe me, go there and have a look at it. That he loves you, does the God the Father, just as much as he loves Jesus. How big is that love? How enormous is it? Somebody mentioned to me a couple of years ago, I mean, as regards, the fact that I'll often preach on the love of God. Because within the love of God, you know, it just spans everything and spans everyone. Whether you've been a Christian 20 years or you're not even born again this morning, the love of God is relevant to you. And so, here we go. Mark 4 and verse 17. That root in themselves. And so they endure for a little while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended. Church is full of people. Churches often. That's why people like Mick and Sue keep busy. Church is full of people that are offended. Take offense easily. One of the most powerful words I think that's been preached over the last 20 to 30 years is probably John Arnott's word on the importance of forgiveness. You know, so many people don't realize it, that it actually releases something in us of the grace of God when I forgive. It's something that we should be practicing in our relationships rather than becoming offended. We have time to go to it now, but when I've spoken about the importance of forgiveness, I've often gone to actually showing in the scripture as regards the fact that we as Christians should have given up the right to be offended. No, it's no longer something that we should be practicing. It's no longer something that we have the right to continue to practice, to be offended. Now, sometimes to learn that, to actually get it operating in us, we've got to actually practice it. You know, during this last couple of weeks, I mean, I'm talking about it, a little bit of tension came between Karen and I and what have you and things like that. But at those moments, we've actually got to, you know, it's a wonderful opportunity to actually practice this grace. And I've said before from the front of here, she's better than me quite often at being quick to forgive. Quick to forgive. And let that grace of God flow. You know, we talk about grace, you know, as though it's something that is just, you know, there for us and what have you, and it can make us feel good and it can give us that gooey feeling from time to time. But really, that grace is meant to be shed abroad and given away and flown through our lives. Because there's people right in this room now need the grace of God. And he wants you to be a channel for that grace to flow. Amen? So here we go, back into that. Offended, and in brackets it says, become displeased, indignant, resentful, and they stumble and fall away. Turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I'm not always doing this, but I should do, and I'm coming back to trying to remind myself that, where are we? Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Mark. Verses, here we go. First of all, therefore I tell you, in verse 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Now, many of us think, hang on a minute, I've prayed for hundreds of things. I mean, you know, many of us are walking in hope deferred, disappointment. And I'll come to that in a moment. But it says that, but in verse 25 it says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. This is big, folks, is the importance of forgiveness. So, so big. And what I say, what I was trying to say was to tag it on the end of our prayers. You know, we might think that we're not walking in unforgiveness, but I think it's a good habit to get in when you actually pray, Lord, help me get this new job. I need a new job. I need a pay rise, whatever. I need you to work on the relationship with myself and my wife. I need, you know, healing in my body. And finish it off with, and if I have got anything in my heart against anyone else, I forgive them. It's a good practice. Practice, practice, practice. Because it says that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. We haven't time to go to it, but in Matthew 18, when it talks about the, you know, the steward there and what have you, that got forgiven for, I think it says in some places, I mean, equivalent of about $10 million, somebody's worked it out, and $20 million somebody owed him. And he wouldn't forgive the $20 when he'd been forgiven $10 million or whatever it was. You know, and that's how we are sometimes, isn't it? What has he forgiven us? Eh? If we could count it right now, I know with me it'd be here a long time. And he forgives so graciously. Forgive. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the grace of God. Now, what he says to us is, now you walk in it, you operate in it, you forgive easily. You do just the same. That it does not hinder your prayers. Put your hand up this morning if you want your prayers hindered. We got no takers. Turn with me back to Mark chapter 4. No takers on that one. Oh, did he? All right. Okay. So, verse 18 we were just about to go into, weren't we? Yeah. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Okay? This is the third category of people in this parable. And, you know, the worries and cares and what have you know, it's not easy sometimes. It's not easy. Some of you in this room have got big cares, big concerns as regards what's going on. And it's not easy. But when we understand, and I don't believe I'm there, all right, really, really understanding the enormity of how much we are loved by God the Father, it would make it a whole lot easier to cast our cares on Him. We cannot have enough of the understanding of His love for us, no matter how many times it's preached from this front. Because He loves and loves and loves us. Okay. Now, the final group. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Whatever words go inside you, the best way I can describe it is like if you get a fencing post and you stick it in the ground and you go back a couple of years later, you'll find that the bottom end of the piece of wood, has started to rot. You see, what it's trying to do is it's dealing with it like it deals with a seed. It's trying to break it open, to germinate it, to set it, make it grow, if you like. Break it down. It's doing what comes naturally. And the thing is, when you and I have good things going to our hearts, that seed goes in, and it's just the same as it going into soil. The soil of your heart will want it to germinate. It'll start germinating it. And it's the same with bad stuff that goes in there. We say something too flippantly to our husband or our wife. You can't take that bullet back. That bullet has gone into the heart. That word has gone in. And the words are so, so powerful. They have the power of life and death in them. And so therefore, part of this cleanup of holiness and things like that, it's cleaning up within our relationships within church. One, it's that giving up the right to be offended. And number two, it's letting the grace of God flow to others. Well, they don't deserve it. So what? You didn't. I didn't. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just pray, shall we? If you feel this morning you're going to allow God to challenge your heart with whatever He wants to challenge it with, that we may move into these days of holiness. Just like I said, I give you permission, Lord, to do whatever you want with me. That I will not be offended. That I will be quick to forgive. That I will take your word seriously. And when I know it's coming from you, I treat it with value. And I take it to myself. That I'll allow it to take root. And to nurture that word. Just come now, Lord. Come now. May the good words of what we've heard this morning that are relevant to us just take root now, Lord. Yes, Lord. May it just take root. Take root. And let us not be in the category of the people who, I think in the first instance, never valued it when it came. The second ones were very easily distracted. The third ones, cares of this world. And the fourth ones, let us be like them, Lord. That we valued it and did something with it. Just come now, Lord. Yes. Show us where we are with this, Lord. Show us where we are, where we fit into this, what we've been like. Just come, Lord. Yes. Yes. Do you know that it's his word that actually heals? Word of God says that he sent forth his word and healed them. That's why quite often I don't like praying for people without actually referring to the word that we're basing it on. God wants to be brought into remembrance of his word. And particularly at the time when we're reaching out for something. Amen. I just feel the Lord wants me to say this before we close. And that is, I just want to go back to being offended. I heard Bill Johnson say this, so I've nicked it off him. He actually said that hope deferred is very deceptive. It deceives us. We treat it as disappointment and hurt. And that's right, it is. It's disappointment and hurt. Disappointment that turns into a hurt. Becomes like a skin infection. You scratch and scratch and scratch and it just gets worse. That's what hope deferred is like. He didn't say that. I'm adding that to it. But what he did say is, he highlighted the deception of hope deferred. Because right at the back of it, it actually clouds your understanding of it. You're actually blaming God. Blaming God. And so therefore, when we say to people, you know, you need to forgive God. Well, I wouldn't hold anything against God. But it's actually there where the hope deferred is. And it's deceiving the heart that really you're disappointed with God. That he didn't give you what you wanted. He didn't answer your prayer. A lot of Christians, a lot, many of us, I've been disappointed. You wanted God to answer certain prayers for you, and you didn't get them. For some people, it's extremely big. But the importance of forgiveness is so important. There is another category of person here that, to move on from hope deferred, there's actually an importance to forgive yourself. Forgiving yourself. There's somebody in here, a person or persons, and you're very hard on yourself. Ask God to show you. If that's you, just give him permission. You're very hard on yourself. You need to forgive yourself for what you've done. Forgive yourself.